As I was sharing already, we are excited that we have Rock Solid Ministries with us, and we have Dallas here with us with some of his guys and one of his leaders as well. And so we're going to turn the service over to them, and at the end, after he is done, then we're just going to take a few moments when they're finished to just take a little few moments to have a remembrance service when they're done as well. So don't rush out after they're done as well. All right, I'll call on Dallas now. Thanks for coming.
Morning. It's good to be with God's people here this morning. I feel like you've given me a little piece of heaven this morning. I don't know when I've ever been in a church where I've heard that much congregation singing. Like the worship band, you guys were great. Like really, you were. But the congregation was amazing. Thank you. Like I really mean that. I feel like, wow. I think we should set up another Rock Solid near here so that this could be our home church and our students could experience that. Was that good this morning? Yeah, like that was, thank you. And the songs, I really appreciate it. The first song, Who the Sun Set Free, I'm going to talk about freedom this morning a bit because it just so much relates to the work that we do at Rock Solid Refuge. But it's just so critical that we understand who God is and who Jesus Christ is and that he has set us free. And what does that actually mean? It's good also this morning to see some familiar faces. George and Ann Bueller, it's just so good to see you again. I know we greeted you before. Ann was our cook for a couple of years down there at Rock Solid, and you're definitely blessed to have her up here as part of your congregation, the both of them as well. And so it's just a blessing to see some familiar faces. How many of you have heard of Rock Solid Refuge before? I was here a couple of years ago, so a lot of you. Any of you, besides George and Ann, have been to Rock Solid Refuge? Have any of you been down to Rock Solid Refuge? All right, good to see some hands go up. We'd love to have more of you come down there at any given time, and I'll talk about some of the opportunities a little bit later on as well. If you're not familiar with who we are as a ministry, we're a 12-month residential program for 13 to 18-year-old young men with life-controlling issues, so addictions and those kind of things. We're southwest of Swift Current, about a 45-minute drive from Miller College of the Bible as well, and so we're very good friends with Miller College of the Bible. Phil Rutan, the president, is a good friend of mine, and we just appreciate the connection. We've had numerous staff that have come from that college as well. Our students also come from across Canada. One of the students that's with me here this morning is from north of Toronto. Another student that we have in the program, the other half of our group actually is in Nuanlog this morning, but another student is from Ottawa. Many of our students are from Saskatchewan and particularly the Prairie Provinces, but we're really serving families from all across Canada. A lot of people are often familiar with Teen Challenge. You're familiar with Teen Challenge? And people ask us, so what's the difference between what you're doing and what Teen Challenge is doing? Really, in many senses, our mandate is very similar. In Canada, Teen Challenge works with 18 and older. And we work with 13 to 18-year-olds, and that's the key difference. We're great ministry friends with Teen Challenge. One of our current staff members is a graduate of Teen Challenge. He did an internship at Teen Challenge and then came on staff with us at Rock Solid Refuge. And so we feel a great camaraderie with Teen Challenge. If you could bring up the slideshow for me, please. Some things I wanted to share with you this morning. Let's see if this... one of the things that is really important to us is this word freedom. And this is a cartoon that I keep, obviously on my presentation, but on my phone as well. And two of our students at Rock Solid were having this conversation one day, literally like this. They were looking outside our dining room window, and they were seeing a bird out there, and they were comparing the lack of freedom they felt they had at Rock Solid Refuge to the bird that they seen outside. And I literally showed them the cartoon on my phone as they were having that conversation. It blew them away. They couldn't believe that I actually had a cartoon that described the conversation they were having. See that bird? That bird has more freedom than I have. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, what's the definition of freedom that these young men are functioning with at this moment? I Shout it out if you have an idea, a thought. Yeah, do what you want, when you want, right? Now, let's be honest. How many of us, if we're honest, would like that to be the definition of freedom that we get to function with? I can do what I want, when I want. We got a few honest people here. Come on. Now, those of you who are shaking your heads because I've seen you, you're thinking beyond that, you know, because like these young guys, you know, he doesn't have to go to school or eat liver or memorize the times table. He's totally free. Like, let's be honest, wouldn't it be nice to just do whatever we want when we want, right? But if we do that, the reality is it ends in disaster. So those of you who are shaking your head, you're like, no, this isn't good, because I know my own thoughts and what I sometimes think I'd like to do, and I know that other people around me have similar thoughts. This is not a world I want to live in, right? Because we know it's going to bring disaster, right? But the reality is that's the definition of freedom that our young people are being drawn into in the world that we live in. And the young people that come to Rock Solid Refuge are very much immersed in that thought pattern that if I can do what I want when I want, I will be happy. I will be fulfilled. Just get off my back. Just leave me alone. I'll be okay. Just leave me alone. I want to do this. If it doesn't turn out well, that's my problem. Just leave me alone. But that's not what God wants for us. So again, just to summarize some of the things that Rock Solid is really about. We work with young people, 13 to 18-year-olds, with substance abuse, addictions, pornography, challenging behavior, all kinds of brokenness that's a part of their story. We believe for every young person that comes to Rock Solid Refuge that there is hope. We really do. We believe that in the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in regards to the word freedom. That's a couple of pictures of our facility, and we're very blessed to have the facilities we have. We believe in bringing God's transforming love to adolescents who struggle with life-controlling issues, that they may know freedom, restoration, and hope. Our vision is much bigger than what we are currently. Currently, we're one center. And as far as we know, we're the only center like it in all of Canada. So the parents that are from Ontario that have their young people with us right now, they're not finding another program that's long-term Christian adolescent treatment. Okay? They're not finding another program in all of Canada like it. And so we're working to see effective biblically-based residential treatment programs Canada-wide, ministering to male and female adolescents and their families. Right now, we have a total of 8 beds available. That's how many beds are available all across Canada. Okay? We don't think that's enough. We believe more should be done. But it does take a lot to do it. So what are some of the core components of our program? Again, like I said, we are a distinctly Christian program. We don't get government funding because we are committed to being what we are, a Christian program. Chapel, devotions, Christian studies, every student, regardless of their belief system when they come in, is required to do the assignments. We don't require them to believe in certain doctrines. It's a matter of the heart. That's something that God works in their heart. But he does that through these things. And we're just so amazed and thrilled at how God works faith into their lives through these things. We believe very strongly in mentorship relationships. We believe in coming alongside of our students. Every student has a staff mentor that meets with them every week and encourages them and talks with them and walks through their time at Rock Solid with them. And we do it not only for their benefit while they're at Rock Solid, but we want to put on display for them the richness of a mentoring relationship for when they leave Rock Solid. I believe all of us should have mentors. I have a mentor. Phil Rutan is one of my mentors, and it's very important to me. If you don't have a mentor in your life, and I don't really care what age you are, you should have a mentor, and we should also have people that we're mentoring as well in our lives. Education is also very much a part of our program. We're a fully accredited independent school that teaches grades 7 to 12. Now, I said we don't get government funds for a program, but we do get a small amount for our education department because we're an accredited, qualified, independent school. So we get about half of what a public school would get per student, which isn't very much. It helps. We're happy to get it. But that's all the government help we get is just for the very specific school aspect of our program. So we pay our own teacher and education assistant, and we see them excel in their education. Life skills is also something that is important to us. We believe in this term called employability skills. It's not just teaching somebody, you know, which end of a hammer to use, or the how to read a measuring tape, or maybe do some plumbing, or maybe, you know, learn to cook a meal or things like that. It's not necessarily even the basic skills, although we do those things, but it's the character qualities that they're going to need to be successful in a workplace, in their homes, in their communities. And those are the things that are important in life skills. We also believe in doing activities with the students. And through the activities that we do with the students, we build relationships with them. So we have a place to go fishing fairly close to Rock Solid. We play board games with them. We've started a horse program now about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. We go camping with them and do a lot of different things that are just opportunities to build relationships. Our student graduations are a very important event to us. We had 4 students that graduated on June 23rd this year. It was just such a blessing to send them off after having them done so well. Camping trip that the students went on this past summer. Our family camp is such an important and rich 4.5 days that we do every summer. We have a speaker that comes up from the States, and it's just an incredibly rich time. And the families that come will just attest to every time how important it was to connect with other families that are going through a similar journey and have themselves be ministered to in that environment, and to have the opportunity to rebuild those relationships with their teenager. On the top left there is a picture of a crop project that's called Harvest for Hope. And so there's a quarter section of land south of Swift Current that gets farmed each year just simply strictly for the benefit of Rock Solid. It's just a huge blessing to us financially. A group of farmers farm it. It's owned actually by a foundation that has said, as long as farmers are willing to farm it, we'll float the land. And there's inputs that are from companies. They get to put their sign up that they're involved with this project. So if you know any farmers in here, by the way? Must be a few, yeah? If you have an opportunity to connect and you want to give some land, maybe even 20 acres or 80 acres, to a project like that, it's a huge benefit to us. We also do seminars and things like that. So we'll travel around and not only present like I'm doing this morning, but we'll present this morning actually in the Grace Mennonite Church in the Wanlog. Two of our staff were doing a seminar in the adult Sunday school class. And so we'll do some of those things on lots of different topics. Some of them are very difficult and dark topics. And sometimes it's just basic parenting seminars that we'll put on. I'm going to ask one of our students, his name's Finn, if he would come up and share his story at this time.
All right. Thanks, Dallas. Man, big crowd here today. I'm not really used to speaking. I mean, I'm usually not nervous about public speaking, but not going to lie, you guys got me shook right now. All right, I personally believe that stories should be told, not recited. So I have like 3 jot notes here, and I'm just going to tell my story. I'm also going to try to keep it light, although I do go over a lot of pretty difficult topics. My life has not been all sunshine and rainbows, although no one's is, realistically. Like Dallas said, people and the staff, specifically at Rock Solid, work on help with life-controlling issues. And I mean, it never is just one issue. It's just issues on issues on issues on issues, and it just keeps going and going and going. I would pretty concretely say that my issues stem a lot from mental illness. First got introduced to my mental illness when I was around 8, 9, 10. I don't know, my memory's pretty shot, but sometime around that time of my life, I was diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. That's hyperactive behavior and hyperactive mind. I couldn't read till I was like 12, couldn't write till even later. I really struggled with school and really struggled socially. Also, to just top all that up, I got a really rare skin disease called acne fulminans. Not a pretty disease by any means. It's when the capillary arteries on the top of your skin cluster together and burst and create little craters in your skin. Left me really emotionally and physically scarred. And that kind of rocketed off my major depression and suicidal tendencies. And I mean, it doesn't really help much that kids are ruthless in grade school. No one in grade school is sympathetic. No one in grade school is, you know, there to make you feel good. They're all there to tease you and to push you down. And it's not exactly fun. And with this ADD, ADHD being really behind in school and this skin disease, I was a social outcast for pretty much most of my life, if not all my life. This led me to hanging out with older kids. In grades 6, 7, and 8, I was hanging out with kids in 11, 12, and some 20, 21-year-olds, which is never, ever good, ever, for a young kid to be hanging out with people like that. It just leads to bad influences and bad decisions. One of those bad decisions is, for my ADD and ADHD, I was just prescribed a really, really strong and harsh medication called Ritalin, and I learned that I could sell it for quite a bit of money. I started doing that, and that kind of introduced me into the drug game, and, you know, started with selling, and then I started drinking at parties and smoking, and then it just kept progressing. Prescriptions, cocaine, crack, meth, just downhill. High school was not super pretty either. I only spent around 5 or 6 months in high school, and in that time I went through 3 schools. I haven't passed a grade since grade 7. And all this put together, a lot of mental illness, a lot of bad decisions, a lot of bad influence, drugs, violence. It all led me to kind of the turning point in my life for the negative, and that was gang relations. I joined a gang, 30 seconds, beat in 20, 30-year-olds, three of them beating up a kid for 30 seconds. Not pretty. But that was the life I knew. Shortly after, I got a weapons charge. And that's kind of when my parents were made aware of everything, because I was what you would call a functional, dysfunctional person. I managed to, you know, be a normal white picket fence kid, 9 to 5, and then at night I'd sneak out and make my mistakes. My parents finally, you know, everything came to light for them when I got my first weapons charge, and that was not the last charge I would get. I was in a really dark place, and it led me to 6 suicide attempts. Valium and vodka, slitting my wrists, OD, you name it. This was a very, very dark place for me. I had no hope. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was everything under the sun. And then one day, I was with some of my friends. Cops picked me up for a youth detox warrant. Spent 11 days in a detox, got out. Cops had to return me to my parents. My parents said, "Get in the car, you're going to Rock Solid." Didn't know what it was, didn't know what I was doing, didn't know where I was going. And I mean, I honestly thank the Lord that they made that decision for me, because I doubt I'd be alive at this point if they did. Being at Rock Solid really was and is an amazing experience. And not amazing as in, you know, fun, good, you know, happy fun times. It's good as in, you know, stops me from completely self-destructing. It has and continues to give me the tools that I need to turn myself around, make something out of myself. Like I said, I haven't passed a grade since grade 7, and now I'm successfully working on grade 10 work. I have gotten away from my environment, no charges, no drug use, nothing for the whole time I've been here. I've been completely free of all burdens and all stress. And I mean, nothing like that comes for free. It's a very difficult and trying program, but that's the point of it. It's meant to confine you, to test your limits, to teach you how to deal with stress instead of just throwing your life away like many of us did. And I can't thank the staff enough for all the work that they do for us guys at Rock Solid. It truly is amazing because, I mean, just imagine yourself 2 staff at a time with 8 teenagers who are capable of terrible things at times. It's not easy. It really, really isn't. And the work that they do is truly, truly amazing. Like, I can't stress enough how important it is. Because I was just one of hundreds of thousands throughout the world that need this help. And I mean, a lot of people aren't getting it. And that's a sad fact of life. Yeah, so I don't really know how to close this off. Like I said, I'm kind of just winging it. But again, I'll thank the staff and I'll thank all of the supporters of Rock Solid, all of the sponsors, all of the farmers, all of the companies, all the corporations, everyone. I'd just like to give a thank you because this is really noble work and help is needed always. Thank you.
Thanks, Finn. I always appreciate it when our students are willing to share their stories. It isn't easy to come up and talk about your story. One of the questions that people often ask, like, what's the common denominator with the students that come? And truthfully, there's brokenness that they all come from on some level or another, but it's all across the map. Like, some of them, it's brokenness that's been imposed on them, and some of them, it's brokenness from the choices that they've made. And we believe that they all need the work of Jesus Christ in their lives. So how can you partner with us? In the bulletins, you should have received a Partner for Change brochure. And that's one of the ways you can sponsor a student. One of our previous students, who is from New Brunswick, sponsors one of our students, and he writes letters to them. And you're probably familiar, whether it's through World Vision or Compassion Canada or Teen Challenge, of that type of sponsorships. And it really works. A whole bunch of $39 a month sponsors really helps financially, and the students really appreciate it when their sponsors write them. One student one time, he said, I think I want to write a letter to my sponsors and say, you're not writing me enough. Because it does mean it's meaningful to them. And so if that's something that you would like to do, and you don't have to write, but to sponsor and to support a student, have one of their bio cards on your fridge and pray for them, is really something valuable. Another thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, and I have brochures on the back about this, is about planned giving and estate planning. Making a charity of your choice like another child in your estate planning in your will, and then less goes to Mr. Trudeau in the East. And that's just a fact of finances, actually. But it actually helps charities a great deal. And I know we chuckle about that, but it's actually really important. We need volunteers out there a lot of the times for lots of different projects. There's a project that Mr. Duick, our education director who's speaking this morning in New Onlog, is kind of pitching there this weekend a bit for maybe next summer. But there's any number of things that sometimes it's small projects for one or two people, and sometimes it's bigger projects. Mennonite Disaster Service came to help us build our main center back in 2010, and it was just an incredible blessing. Funds are always needed. We've gone through actually a really lean time, and I think we're probably all aware that the economy is challenging right now, and it's challenging for a lot of people, including us. And it's been a tough season. We've actually had to lay some staff off, so that means that we can take less students. Pray for us. So if you take some of our information or a business card or if you become a sponsor, please pray for us. Pray for our financial needs. Pray for our students that have graduated. Pray for the new students that have come in and how they're doing. And we're really blessed with how they're doing. Pray for our staff. As Finn said, it's a challenging work. We live alongside of them. Pray for strength and perseverance. And again, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be here. I want to share a little bit more with you this morning from the Galatians 5 passage. So I like this cartoon. Here's Tom. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And his wife says, it's a pickle jar, Tom. Twist the lid, not scripture. Right? Because the reality is we come across certain passages and certain words that we really like to latch on. And freedom is one of those words, right? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Man, that's just a great verse. So what is it that we have been enslaved to, or what is it that Paul's talking about here in Galatians chapter 5 that we are freed from? So I like to think about this chapter 5 as the follow-through, as Paul springboards off of what he's talked about that we've already been freed from. So if we understand our place in Christ as Christians, we have come to faith in Christ by repentance and faith, and we understand ourselves to have been freed from the penalty of sin, right? So the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, right? We all deserve, as humans who have sinned against a holy God, we deserve eternal punishment. It's not wrong for God to punish us for our sin. But when we come to faith in Christ and he forgives us, we are freed from the penalty of sin. Could there be a more joyous thing in all of the universe, right? Like, there should be nothing that makes us happier every morning if we're a Christian to wake up in the morning and go, I'm free from the penalty of sin. Like, I could have died overnight, stopped breathing for some weird reason, my heart stopped, whatever. I could be standing before God right now instead of waking up, and I'd be okay because I'm free from the penalty of sin, right? That is great news. Paul would also say that we are free from the power of sin. Romans 6 is such an amazing chapter. Romans 6, 7, and 8, of course, right? That we were slaves to sin. That sin is not just acts that we commit, but it is a power. It pulls on us. It enslaves us. It wants, as God said to Adam and Eve, or to Cain, actually, in Genesis, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, to have you, to rule over you. And if we're honest, we know that sense, right? Especially if we think back before we were in Christ. Sin ruled over us. We made decisions according to our slave master sin. And so we've been freed from the power of sin. It's no longer our master. We can choose to submit again to it if we want, if we choose to, but it's not our master anymore. So we've been freed from the penalty of sin. We've been freed from the power of sin. But the question I think that Paul is answering here in Galatians chapter 5 is, what have we been freed to? If you know anything about addictions, it is never good enough to say, just stop taking that drug. Stop drinking that alcohol. Just stop it. Because the life has revolved around that. That's a part of who that person actually is. It's what they know. Right? And if they stop that, then what? Right? And so in Christ, we're freed from the penalty of sin. We're freed from the power of sin to stop those things that we're not to do. But what are we freed to? Who has God recreated us to be? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. We often don't put verse 10 in there. together with those verses, right? Because we, by grace, are you saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. But what does verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's the natural follow-through. We were created not just to stop those things, but we were created for good works. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So we have been freed from the penalty of sin and the power of sin to serve the living and true God. So what is this serving the living and true God look like? Well, one aspect of it is, I mean, here we are this morning. We're here to worship God, to turn our hearts and our minds toward God, to honor him, to reverence him. But hey, this is like an hour or two a week. Is that all it means to serve God? Show up, look decent, behave well in this setting? That's serving God? I think it's got to do with a lot more than that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and following, Paul helps us to understand a little more of what it means to what we are freed, not just from, but what we are freed to. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This is what we have been freed to. We have been freed to serve, right? I think it's an amazing moment in our lives, and I hope that you've experienced this. If this is not your experience yet as a believer, or maybe you're not a believer here, but I want to encourage you to consider this. This is an amazing moment of true freedom. When we come to that place when it is more joyful to serve than not to serve, right? In our flesh, it's like, I just want to be on a beach in the Bahamas with people serving me all of the time. Like, the weather's turning cold now. I just want to be there. Like, in some senses, it feels good to think about that. Wouldn't that be just nice? Just get served all the time. But God says that true freedom is being freed to serve and actually love it. This is becomes a source of joy. Like, I moved still 14 years into this by these stories. I really am. I can't escape it. Like, I'm going to see these guys in heaven. This is amazing, right? In my flesh, yes, I still feel like I'd like people to serve me all the time. Yes, okay? But the reality of the joy of being freed from that as my slave master to being freed to actually desire to serve. This is not a natural instinct for me, okay? Just because I've done this for a long time doesn't mean that it's just natural for me. I'm as selfish as anyone else. I really am. I love playing hockey. I love playing football. I'm having a hard time not thinking about the football games that are going to happen this afternoon because there's implications for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders next week, right? Like, I like these things too, right? But at the end of the day, man, I really get miserable if I'm not serving people. I honestly do. Because God has so worked, God has actually worked in my heart to move me to love that, to be freed from the need to be served in my mind to serve. And it's not because I'm a better person. It's because God has done an amazing work. It's our prayer for each one of our students that this progression of knowing who they are and who God is would lead them to faith and repentance so that they would be freed from the penalty of sin and freed from the power of sin and that they would stop the destructive behavior, the things that have destroyed their lives and their families' lives. We want those things to stop. But we want the full deal, where they come to the joy of serving others as well. Verse 14, we'll close with this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. What does that look like for us to walk by the Spirit? Because if I can walk by the Spirit and have an inner compulsion to not gratify the desires of the flesh, man, I want that. I want that every day. George Mueller, who was well known for his work with orphans in England, had this quote. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. How are we doing in our walk with God? Is our first thought, and it seems noble, right, to have our first thought in the morning, oh, how am I going to serve God today? Even how am I going to glorify God? It sounds good and noble, but George Mueller would say, that's secondary, actually, to just intimately connecting with God. And that those things, and in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But those things are to be a fruit, an overflow, not a pursuit in and of themselves. That they come from the walking with the Spirit, this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Parents and grandparents, we need to role model that for our kids. They need to see us with our Bibles open. They need to hear us pray. They need to know what breaks our hearts, what moves us. Young people, God's better than anything that this world has to offer. You might test the waters, but God is better. God is calling you to walk with Him, to be freed from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and to be freed to serve in love, because God has first served us in His love. Thank you once again so much for the opportunity to join you this morning. After the service, we're going to cruise out to the back there where our display is, and we'd love to chat with people out there this morning. Thank you.